The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
They get it to McKinnon. He shot, he scores! Nathan McKinnon opens the scoring for Colorado.
The car down low. McKinnon, he scores!
Faceoff win comes to McKinnon.
Then Dave shot, scores! The tip out high from Landeskog, and it's 3-0 Colorado.
Front turning, shooting, score! It's Tarasenko.
It's David Jean.
Center scores! Robert Thomas! Halfway through the third, and the Blues are within one. McCrone, Tarasenko, number they score! From down 3-0, the Blues have tied it.
McKinnon has two in the game, and he's flying into the zone.
Nathan McKinnon, the drive, and he scores! That was special from the dot. Tarasenko to Kemper, and he scores! Robert Thomas in the final minute, and he's tied again.
Here's Bozak. Lines and shoots, he scores!
Tyler Bozak in overtime has forced game six in the series.
He's the same as the rest of our team, so he'll get addressed with the rest of our team. He's including me.
We have to consider a goal-winning game.
No.
Man, we get the Brittany on this? Oops, I did it again? What, with giving up goals? Is that what we did over and over again, Tyler?
Oh, I don't know if KJ intended that. He's not in his head. Yes, he's not in his head as if he did intend that.
We did it again?
All right.
I did it again with all my tweets. Maybe that's what happened again.
Well,
again,
you certainly did. Again. We'll see if you learned your lesson or not. I'm not feeling very confident in it. I feel, you know what I really feel like you're going to do? I think you're going to dig your heels in. I think at this point, you're going to try to make a point of it, and you're just going to dig your heels in.
I cannot imagine the Avs having another 3-goal lead in Game 6, and oh my God, I'm rolling my eyes, Game 7. But I cannot imagine having a 3-goal lead tomorrow night and losing the game. I cannot believe it happened. I cannot believe it happened.
I know. It's brutal. It's absolutely brutal. And especially when you had a superstar doing what he was doing. We'd been waiting for Nathan McKinnon to show up. I mean, he's been out there playing decent hockey. He just hasn't put the puck in the net like that. And he showed up. I mean, I'm talking about it. The superstars, they will be there. You give them enough games, and they're going to show up. That's exactly what Nathan McKinnon did. And to think that he went out there, did what he did, got as big of a lead as they had, and they let that thing slip. I'll give you this in regards to Darcy Kemper. My one of my biggest concerns, how does he feel specifically to his teammate, Nathan McKinnon? I'm serious now. I've been there. I've given up a strip sack in a two-minute drill to end a game. That is the worst feeling in the entire world. I felt like I let the entire team down. I felt like I let my coach down. I literally, in the most literal sense, was telling people I'm sorry, like my bad, you know? And I don't know that that's a healthy thing. Maybe I shouldn't have even done that. But it's human nature, and I do wonder if Darcy Kemper, specifically because of the game that Nathan McKinnon had, if he's feeling that kind of remorse.
Oh, man. Is that okay? All right, let me ask you a tricky question. Do you honestly believe the team has faith in Kemper? I know what they say, but do you really believe the team has faith in Darcy Kemper?
Well, every team has a weak link. So even the great teams have got a weak link. I'm not sure the weak link is fair to Darcy Kemper. He hasn't felt like he's been a liability really at any point this season. But you've asked questions. There's been multiple times throughout the year where there's been a lot of us who've wondered, is Darcy Kemper going to be good enough to finish this thing off? Is he a Stanley Cup goalie? Like not just being the Stanley Cup. Like, is he the type of goalie that could win a Stanley Cup?
Right.
So, you know, he's towards the bottom of the list. Whether he's literally the weak link or not, he's the most obvious one. He's the one that is dealing with the most pain right now. And I think it's fair to say that that teammates out there are wondering, do you have it or not? I think that's fair, but that doesn't mean that you give up on a guy. Because I'll keep going back to the same thing I've been saying all day long, but to me, it's a bigger psychological change that I do equate changing a goalie in the playoffs. And we're not talking about the regular season here. In the playoffs in game six, I equate that exactly to benching a quarterback in the playoffs. If we benched a quarterback, I feel like, man, we got problems all over the place, and this is a bigger issue than just one guy.
If you wanted to name names, it'd be awesome, but you don't have to because it's going to be a sensitive question here. But when you played with a poor quarterback, and throughout your career, I'm sure you played with a couple of poor quarterbacks, did everybody on the team feel like they had to do a little bit more than their job in order to win? Or at some point you believe that we really don't have a shot because we don't have the right guy back there?
No, of course. I mean, because of the way you asked the question, I'm probably not going to name names just because that feels pretty direct on it. But to your point, yeah, when you've got a quarterback that isn't playing up to par, or even maybe he's playing up to his par, and you just know that par is not good enough. This is not a championship level quarterback. Mm-hmm. You got to do everything right. And fellas, we got to stay on schedule. So on first down, when you've got a running play, you know, hey, that's called right behind me. I got to get us 3 yards. Right. If I don't get us 3 yards, we're getting behind schedule. And if we get behind schedule, that's not just going to make life harder on the quarterback. That's making my life hard. Because when a quarterback's not in rhythm, when he's not playing good football, we get to third and long. Guess what happens? He takes too long. He doesn't see the field. And not only do bad things happen, but bad things happen to you. Because now all of a sudden you've got a quarterback out there that's taking too long. You block for what should have been an appropriate amount of time, and you give up a strip sack. So,
right.
No, for sure. For sure that weighs on you, and you're aware when that's happening.
Listen, I know I've only coached at like a youth level, but I've coached a lot of teams. And I had teams, Tyler, I swear to God, over the years, where the pitcher, the kids just didn't believe in him.
Yeah.
And because they didn't believe in him, just crazy things would happen. And at one point, I remember feeling bad for this one particular pitcher because I really didn't think he was doing anything wrong. I thought he was actually doing okay. But every single time he pitched, something quirky would happen. And the way that I really figured it out was, wow, they just inherently don't believe in him. For whatever reason.
But is that what you're insinuating about Darcy? I don't think
well,
that's
I don't,
fair.
I don't know. I don't know if you feel like, well, I've got to sit back a little bit. I got to be a little bit more careful. I can't be as aggressive because I don't quite trust what's going on back here. I can't take those type of chances because I don't quite have the confidence in this guy. I'm not sure.
Well, there's no right way to lose, right? So when you get the end of a football game and it's a 2-minute drill, you've got your defense on the field. Everybody goes nuts when you go into prevent and you make it so soft and you're like, wow, it's so easy. They just picked up 20 yards, 30 yards. Why are we making it so easy on them? People are like, start blitzing, bring the house. Well, there's no right way to lose. If you play prevent and you play soft and you lose, you lost. You made the wrong decision. But if you're in a 2-minute drill, you bring the house, you go Rex Ryan, you go cover zero, and all of a sudden they hit one deep go route on you, and they hardly had to do anything. Well, clearly that was the wrong way to lose also. So I think you look back at it at any point in time and you question, was that the right thing to do? And I do wonder what happened with the Avalanche. Was that the equivalent of going into prevent defense at a 2-minute drill?
Felt like it.
They got up so big that you say, okay, I feel like the right thing to do right now is, you know, let's hit the brakes a little bit.
Right.
Let's slow down. Make sure we don't give them anything stupid. Let's not do anything crazy. Get overly aggressive. Give a turnover that leads to a quick goal. I think that's a coaching philosophy that makes sense 9 times out of 10. But when it doesn't work, it's the wrong decision.
I'll say this. They used a pretty similar strategy in Game 4, and it did work. It really did. You know, they got up. Okay, they gave up a couple of power play goals, but essentially they just kind of played back a little bit, and they weren't all that aggressive, and then they were patient with it and waited for, you know, eventually a mistake to be made by the Blues. And, you know, they got one when they were trying to pull the goalie, and he didn't get all the way out, and they got a 2-on-1. They got a half-empty netter. And they really could have gotten an empty netter with Gabe, too, if he took that shot. I'm not overly critical, but I understand the
have
guys.
Have you seen the replay of it?
No. I here's what I haven't seen. I haven't gone back and seen a detailed replay, nor have I heard the guys on TNT beat him up. And that's your advantage, my disadvantage,
right,
of being at the game and you watch it on TV. So maybe you're better to actually speak about that.
Well, yeah. I mean, they were saying that game should have never gone to overtime. When Gabe had that opportunity, you got to put that shot on net the second that you can. You got to seal the deal. What would Gretzky do? He would hit that shot as soon as he possibly could. Now, I've seen a few people point this out, and I wonder if this is what was going on. Do you think he was trying to get past the red line to prevent icing? Was that in his mind?
Well, I know philosophically most players do try to do that.
Okay.
They if you can do that, they do try to do it because it would waste the most time. So I think inherently that just happens.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's trained into you. They when you get that opportunity, you just try to get past the line, and then you fire just in case you miss. So that's trained into you. So you're already attempting to do that. That's in the back of your mind. But man, when they slowed it down, I actually felt better about it. Watching in real time, I had the exact same reaction as all the guys on TV. I said it out loud. Man, shoot that thing. You got to shoot that thing. What are we doing? You took too long. And it was a matter of a split second. Honestly, when they slowed it down, they put that thing in slow-mo, they were rewinding it. I really felt like, I don't know if he had the opportunity to get control to take the shot. I just don't know that it was ever there.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's a TV thing, or maybe you can replay it. It just didn't even stand out to me that much watching the game live. I didn't really care that much about it at the time.
They didn't lose the game because of that. They lost the game because they gave up 3 goals in the third.
Right. Well, right. Oh, my God, so frustrating. Our Avalanche insider Adrian Dater joins us courtesy of Bud Light, an official beer sponsor of the Colorado Avalanche. AD, why did that happen last night?
Well, a couple things, I think. Number one, Darcy Kuemper was not good in goal. He did not make any big saves. He let some bad goals in, I thought. Pretty much every goal that he gave up in the game last night got worse as it went along, culminating with a soft goal in overtime from Tyler Bozak, the former DU player. Just a simple slap shot from the near the blue line and went to the left of his glove. It didn't seem like he was screened at all, and that's the game. I think that the Avs got too conservative too. Now, I know. Now, what I mean by that is it's okay to play dump and chase hockey, right? You get the puck at the red line, you dump it in, and you try to sort of run out the clock. But you have to chase the puck just as hard on the forecheck if you're going to do that, I believe. What I think the Avs did too often was they get to the red line, they dump it in, and then they went for sort of casual line changes and didn't get in on the forecheck fast enough. That allowed the Blues to carry the puck out too easily from their own zone. And they were able to control the puck more often than they should have, leading to chances against. It's okay, again, like I said, to do that more conservative, but you've got to still really attack the puck. I don't think the Avs do well when they do that, quote, dump and change hockey. Dump and chase hockey is fine. Dump and change is different.
Adrian,
and I think that's sorry. What happened.
Adrian, did you feel like that was that a philosophical coaching decision, or was that the guys taking things for granted and just getting a little bit less aggressive?
I think it's both. I mean, Jared Bednar's the coach, so, you know, he's the one who probably told him, and this is, hey, this is what, let's dump it in, let's not play fire wagon hockey here. We got a lead to protect, and I also think the Avs players made so many fundamental mistakes with the puck too. I mean, it wasn't even about dump and chase at that point and late in the game. It was about failed clear outs in their own zone, right? D-Mac, you saw the game there.
Yep.
You know, they had so many chances at the end to clear the puck, and they put it right back to the Blues, pointing at it, kept it in, kept things going, tired everybody out. Then, of course, they had the Gabe Landeskog incident where he tried to skate over the red line, and instead of shooting the puck at the empty net, he tried to get it over to avoid any icing violation. But he carried the puck probably too long, got stripped. Puck went the other way, and then everything went helter-skelter from there. Boom, tie game. So it was just a combination of every error you can make in the end. And then to top it all off, Darcy Kuemper just could not make a big save when they needed it.
I asked Bednar point blank, are you considering a goaltending change? And he said, no, should he? Should he consider it at least?
No, I don't think so. I think you stay with. I think you sink or swim with Kemper right now. I mean, Frankie. Let's face it. Frankie didn't look out so awesome either when he's played in playoffs. He'd be too rusty. I think it would send the wrong message, et cetera, et cetera. I think Kemper, you have to sink or swim with him. You got him in the offseason in a big trade. You know, he blew a game last night, but he, you know, there's two more chances to win. That's the great thing that the Avs still have going for him. Two more chances. Let's see if Kemper can redeem himself. I think to bench him right now after that would just sort of concede too much to the Blues and make the Avs look like they're worried too much. And I think it's just sink or swim with Darcy, and we'll see what happens.
All right, concern level. Number one with Darcy Kemper, number two with Colorado Avalanche. What's your concern level at? 1 out of 10.
Oh, I mean, I think it's, you know, it's a good solid 7 right now. I mean, I don't love their chances tomorrow night, frankly, in a hostile building. I think the Blues are finally going to play a really good game at home. I think this thing's coming home for 7 now. I would like the Avalanche chances in a game 7. I'll say that. So, yeah, I'm concerned. I'm concerned. Of course I'm concerned. I'm always concerned. You know, you guys are always the ones, you know, singing past the graveyard. I'm here to throw some reality in your eyes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Hey, first off, Adrian, don't include me in that. I've been fighting with D-Mac all day about it. I got my feet in the ground over here, okay? I can't be guilty by association.
I have magical... Adrian, all I have magical powers on social media.
You jinxed him last night, D-Mac.
Yeah. Were you mad about that, Adrian? I was ticked off. Were you mad about it?
I mean, listen, I'm the king of all jinxers, so, you know, people know, there's a hashtag called Dater Jinx on the Twitter, but, yeah, D-Mac, you did jinx him.
Yes. What?
Yes.
What?
Be mad.
I don't have that kind of power. What are you talking about?
But
All right, if you're keeping it real, hey, hold on, if you're keeping it real, okay, dose of reality, whatever you said, broomstick of truth. What about Cale Makar and his defense? Not his offense, his defense. Did Makar have a poor effort last night?
Yeah, he kind of did, yeah. I mean, he was late getting to his guy on that top goal and made it 4-4, I believe. Yeah, he was. That was his guy. I mean, he didn't seal off the side of the net. The guy had an easy tap in, and I think, you know, but I also think Makar thought, geez, this is going to be an easy save for Darcy, you know. And probably the puck's going to be blown dead here, but Darcy bobbled it, out it goes into the crease, and Cale was probably caught off guard, and boom, in the net. Kemper had to make that save, at the bottom line.
Colorado Avalanche. Adrian's got him losing game 6, but winning in a game 7. Okay, Tyler, and his concern level is a 7. 7 from AD.
I don't like hearing him say it's coming home. That's got me awfully concerned. I don't like that vibe. It certainly could happen. It's going to be a tough place to play. It'll be a tough environment.
All right, question for Tyler. Here we go, 303-713-1043. Still taking suggestions of how to appease the hockey gods. 7. Dude, I'm at a 3.
yours makes no sense, though. I can't figure out. You're at a 3. You want to switch the goaltender. I mean, which one is it? Those two don't line up.
Sure they do. Frankie could have a good game. They could win relatively easily, like 5-2, something like that tomorrow night. Sure. I don't know why that couldn't happen. Man, everybody down on Frankie, too.
I'm not down on Frankie. I think he's done a nice job throughout the year, and when he's been called upon, he's done a good job. It's just about the psychological games for me.
Maybe Mikko Rantanen has a hat trick next. Okay. You had Kadri, you had McKinnon. How about Mikko?
All right, let's go, Mikko. It's your turn, buddy.
303-713-1043, Mount Palumbus.
Yeah, way to go. Now you just jinxed him. Way to go, D-Mac.
That's jinxing him?
Yep. Yeah.
That's jinxing him.
I mean, just get things under control.
Should I say Ryan O'Reilly's going to have a hat trick? That
no.
I think he's going to... No, that doesn't work.
Then you'd make that happen.
Well, how do I do reverse jinxing?
Just don't talk.
Well, you know that's impossible.
Yes,
Mount Palumbus Peak is next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
From the banks of Cherry Creek to the Flatirons of Boulder to the South Stands of Mile High, he's the state of Colorado's native son, a man of mythical and physical proportion, University of Colorado Buffalo's team captain, Denver Broncos Super Bowl 50 champion. He is Mount Palumbus. Who dare attempt scale the mighty Mount Palumbus on this day?
All right, Mount Palumbus Speak is brought to you by Plumline Services. Turn to the expert you trust. Use trust. Use who you trust.
I trust use.
Mount Palumbus. Speak in the playoffs. It's double fines given from the gods. So maybe the only way to protect Cadre in St. Louis, you have to be willing to sacrifice, I'm sorry, DMAC for the greater good. Wait a second. Tom from Denver, that's your question for Mount Palumbus? Human sacrifice and it's me?
Mount Palumbus.
Wait. That's terrible.
Look, DMAC, I'm not saying it wasn't a consideration, but I decided that that's not the sacrifice that we need. We should probably not go with sacrificing, like, the entirety of your being.
Right.
Although it is on you. So, hey, man, this is between you and whoever you have offended. It's been a lot of people, for the record. Despite whatever the powers to be are that you did offend, there was a lot of people right here, right here in Colorado that were offended by it. Hey, man, there's been some good suggestions on the text line. Perhaps you should sneak on to the ice. Maybe you take your drawers off and you just sit there until your buttocks gets frozen.
God.
And then it's sticky and you got to stand up. Maybe I don't know. There's been suggestions out there. I do know, though, that it's on you at this point. And if you don't want to make it right, that's your choice. I suggest that you just accept that you tempted fate, you got slapped in the face, and now you need to make things right. It's up to you, though, buddy. That's not me. I can't figure that out for you.
Well, here's one that's pretty good. I got to admit, this one's pretty good. I think D-Mac should have to read out all of his tweets from Wednesday's game somewhere in public in St. Louis. After
go stand outside the, you're going to the baseball game tonight, right?
I was thinking about it, yeah.
Yeah, go stand out with the microphone and with the list and just read it off. And I'm not just talking about when they go in the game. Yeah. I'm talking about you got to stand out there the whole time. People come and go the entirety of the game. And you got to be sitting there with that microphone on your soapbox reading off your list of tweets.
After he reads his tweet, ring a bell and say shame like Cersei in Game of Thrones.
Yep, that's a good idea.
It either before the game or at a corner by the stadium or something like that. That and that alone would appease the hockey gods.
Yeah, I mean, look.
That's pretty good right there.
Hey, you've got an opportunity here.
That's pretty good.
Hey, Mac, you've got an opportunity. Number one. An opportunity to make things right with the powers to be that you offended. Number two, you've got an opportunity to create a video. I mean, think about Mike and Mark. Think about how jealous they would be of the video that you would make. You know, they want to go to Super Bowls because they make videos, right? Right? I mean, you could become the video king here, create content, gain followers, and just do the right thing.
Well, you know what? You know what we could actually do? Because here's what was going to happen tomorrow. Because the puck drop is early again. It's 6 o'clock Mountain. We're here in St. Louis land. It's Central Time Zone. What we were going to do tomorrow, maybe this works because it could happen live. I was going to leave Matt Smith, and he thinks it's over, by the way. You think, you know, he's on the complete opposite side.
Whoa, hold on. He thinks it's over as in the Avs. They've got no chance. They're losing three straight games.
Yeah, enjoy that hour with Matt tomorrow. But the concept was,
Are you serious? Hold on, I'm not joking. You're not exaggerating. He actually thinks they're going to lose three straight games?
Correct.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, he was, being the bearer of great news with Chad Brown for 2 hours.
Well,
today.
I give him a little bit of respect that at least he wasn't going jinxy cat.
What we were going to do, the plan was for me to leave at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock out here, and then, you know, be in the Uber and kind of give you a live play-by-play of going down there and the fun going into the game. I could, if I left here at 5 o'clock in the Uber, I could be standing outside of the arena during this show, reading those tweets, ringing a bell in the last half hour to appease the hockey gods right before the game starts.
Yes, you could. You could do a lot of things.
Well, do you like that or not?
It's just a matter of whether you would do it.
That's a pretty funny idea.
I think that would satisfy me. Sure. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the exact sacrifice is here. I feel like this is a moment that requires some sort of sacrifice. But yeah, I would enjoy the shame of it.
That's a pretty good one because that would give me enough time to, like, I could video it. I'm a one man operation out here, by the way, dude.
you can find a friend. You're great at finding friends. Yeah.
Who would that be?
I mean, nobody talks louder than you. Just ask the lady at the airport.
Right. No, but that would give me time to print up the tweets and go find a bell. And it's a lot of traffic on that corner going into the game.
I like it. That's a pretty good idea.
And it gives us something fun to do on the show too.
Yes.
And then it appeases the hockey gods right before the game.
Let's hope.
I mean,
first off, you never know if you appease them or not until after the fact, but let's hope so.
I think that's the best suggestion so far. That's a pretty good one right there. D-Mac has to sing karaoke Blink 182 in a bar in St. Louis.
You know, just for the record, I'm you're not alone. You're not the only one that I'm mad at here. I am mad.
Wait, hold on, I'm talking here.
I'm in the middle of something. I am also mad at whoever decides that it's time to play all the small things. I am mad at them. First off, that was a dumb precedent to set. I like the tradition. I do. I like singing it. And it is kind of fun that you sing it when the game is over, when you feel like the game is in hand. But whoever decided to press play on that song at Ball Arena, they are equally as responsible as you because they made a decision that was preemptive and it was premature. It was way too soon. It was at that point, there was scary, bad things that happened multiple times already. And to tempt fate at that point, hey, they're not off the hook either, buddy.
I didn't even realize there was a deeper point to playing all the small things. I knew it happened at random times during the game.
It's not random.
Well, I found that out now. I mean, yeah. I've been sat at like 40 hockey games this year listening to it. It didn't even strike me that they would never play it. But then again, they won the vast majority of their games at home. I just never thought that it had any deeper meaning than, you know, we're going to play the song.
Right. Well, so, this is all from James Berlad. He's got sources.
Do we trust him?
I trust him. I mean, he said this as a matter of fact. I'm not calling him a liar. Only you call people liars, and that usually doesn't work out well for you.
Tell me about it. Why did D-Mac have to fly in today instead of tomorrow? That's a good question, and we had to figure it out. So I'm on the phone, Tyler, with like Raj at like 11:30 last night, and what we realized is if I were to go in tomorrow, I kind of would miss everything. You know what I mean? I'd be in time for the game, but we kind of knew there was nothing that was going to happen today. Indeed, nothing did happen today. There was no practice. There were no skates. There was really nothing going on. The news of the day will happen basically tomorrow morning with both teams. So if we're really going to cover what's happening, it was really important to be here for tomorrow morning when that stuff is going on. So that was the reason. But we had it was crazy last night, dude. Like, Raj is making arrangements at, you know, seriously, 11:30, quarter of midnight to try to get this done at the last second. So it's amazing, actually, it all happened, to be honest with you. So,
well, I'm glad you're out there.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. I am.
I am. I'm very glad. It's going to be great coverage, and you got what you deserved.
So tomorrow morning we'll be doing, you know, all the stuff. We'll be on all the shows, and we're doing videos. Me and you are doing videos from out here, which is kind of fun, and it's amazing what you can do with the good old technology. But, dude, it was seriously surreal. Just being and walking these streets again that I really seriously thought I would never see again in my life. I just could not imagine a scenario in my life, Tyler, that I would be back on the streets of St. Louis. And here I am 2 days later.
And yet here you are.
Here I am. All right. Oh, hi, Tyler. I texted that about the sound guy. Yeah, they are. You got some support about the all the small things, by the way.
Yeah. I don't know that there were that many people out there that knew the meaning behind it until James let that cat out of the bag.
Right.
Or we were just way behind, which is, I suppose, a possibility.
That's for sure.
But now that people are aware, I think everybody is equally aware to the Jinxie Cat ways of you and the dangerous game that you play by playing that song with, what was it, about a minute 45 left?
Crazy. All right, you got game balls? You got something positive?
I got something.
Do you have something good?
I'm going to figure it out.
All right, that's coming up next.
Getting you set for tomorrow night's Game 6 in St. Louis, powered by Superbook Sports. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbis from the Superbook.com studios in Denver and D-Mac live from the site of tomorrow's Game 6 in St. Louis, Missouri.
Little story. The Rockies. I'm going to guess, Tyler, you don't have the Rockies turned on in the studio right now.
No, we got the Rangers game on.
Okay. So do you know how the Rockies are doing right now or not? Yes or no?
No. Okay. No clue.
It's the bottom of the second. Germán Márquez is pitching for the Rockies. What do you think the score is? They're playing the Washington Nationals. They're playing against a pitcher, Patrick Corbin, who's 0-7, and the Nationals are 15-30. So terrible, but they are playing out there in the D.C. area. What do you think the score is in the bottom of the second?
4-0.
Wow! Who?
Not the Rockies.
Yeah. It was 4-0. That is crazy. You just said that. And the Rockies scrapped up a one run. It's actually 4-1, but you were right on. Mm-hmm. Marquez gave up four runs. Our best pitcher, Germán Márquez, gave up four runs, all earned in the first inning. Patrick Saunders, our pal, on Twitter said, it's painful to watch Germán Márquez pitch right now.
Yikes.
So it's early in the game. It's so anything can happen.
They could easily give up at least 27 or 36, right?
I don't want to be accused of a jinx anymore, so I'm just laying out what's going on. That's all right. There's plenty of time. But Márquez, there's something wrong with that dude.
Nine innings times average of 36, yeah.
36 runs, and they just kept giving up four runs an inning?
Yeah.
Well, the Nationals technically would only get up eight times, not to be nitpicky about that. It is
fair
a home
enough.
Game for
yeah,
them.
Yeah, fair enough,
so
yeah.
Just be 32.
That's not so bad when you say
quite,
it like that.
Quite a game,
I mean, when you say it's 32, that's not so bad.
By the way, the Reds, who stink, beat the Cubs 20-5 today. 20-5.
Yikes.
That's a fun little league game to participate in.
Is that that's got to be the highest score of the year, right?
I doubt it. No, I bet you donuts to dollars that there's been more out there for sure.
Really?
Yeah, 20. I bet you. I mean, I don't know it off the top of my head, but I bet you there has been. Anyways, that's the Rockies, Tyler. That's our Rockies. Is they're withering away to a terrible team on the road, and our best pitcher, according to the beat writer, is painful to watch.
Yeah, that's not good. That's why I'm not watching. That's why I don't know what the score is, D-Mac.
Well, there you go. In terms of, do you see the Celtics doing what they're doing?
What's Celtics, happening?
Well, they're doing all right. They're winning. They're winning games. They're beating the...
Well, I mean, you said like something magical happened. What?
Well, won. They won. They beat the Heat. They're leading the series 3-2.
All right.
And Golden State probably closes out... Dallas tonight. Does it give you any solace, perhaps, that Golden State really is that good? That they likely, well, I mean, you know, they win tonight, they're going off to the NBA championship. And does it help you at all because the Nuggets lost to them?
Well, not in the big picture, no, but it gives you a little bit of affirmation that they are as good as we thought they were. I mean, when we were watching that series, I said on this show multiple different times, the Warriors are going to win it all. You can't tell me there's somebody out there that is hotter, playing better, hitting more threes, doing what they're doing. You know, I did a show with James Berlat when you're out of town, and he said, watch, Dallas is about to embarrass the Denver Nuggets. And I'm like, what? Huh? What do you mean? He's like, they're about to go and show that the Warriors are not as good as they are. Well, I don't know about that one, James.
Right. How's he doing that one? Huh?
You know, James, he wins some, he loses more, but he wins one or two.
It's still difficult to understand what he means by Teflon, because the latest, I mean, he's been saying it's Teflon, but he's not for firing anybody. But So I don't really quite get the Teflon thing, do you?
I mean, everybody knows what Teflon means. That means you're implying that you want the guy to be fired. That's what that means. It means that you're implying that he's not getting the job done. But, you know, in James's world, that's, I don't know, he calls his mom Teflon.
Teflon mom?
Yeah, probably. Like, mom, why don't you get any credit? Like, I turned out who I am. Why do I get blamed for the way that I am? Why don't you get blamed for what I've done, mom? You're Teflon.
You think we should be more critical of James's mom for the way she raised him?
No, I don't think that, but I think that James probably thinks that.
You think he thinks that?
Yes.
Gotcha. Teflon mom. That's pretty funny. Okay, What do you expect the mood to be with the, and I'll see it firsthand. We'll be reporting all over it, cover it top to bottom tomorrow. But what do you expect the mood of the Avalanche to be tomorrow here in St. Louis?
I hope we see an awfully competitive bunch. I'm afraid. Oh, man, Adrian Dater got me a little bit nervous. I'm afraid that we might have another loss, like Adrian said. And if it's a blowout, my concern meter is going to go through the roof.
If that happens, sure. Me too.
Yeah. But I don't expect that. I expect to see a very competitive hockey game that probably could go either way. It's probably going to come down to the wire. It's going to be a difference of one goal. I think the Colorado Avalanche are going to lose. I think the Colorado Avalanche are going to win. When you say lose, you can't be accused of going jinxy cat. So actually, my flub there, that actually helped me out a little bit. So you didn't know that I did that intentionally, but I did.
Okay. D-Mac,
you know, the Cronkies are a mysterious bunch. They are an awfully mysterious bunch.
Uh-huh.
And I tell you what, they found a way to own more professional sporting teams without existing than just about anybody I've ever seen. Kevin looked up over the last 5-6 years how many appearances the Crockies have made in front of the media.
Yeah.
And you could count them on one hand. And that's over the professional teams that they own. I'm not sure. We literally could not find the last time that they had a presser for the Denver Nuggets. And I got to give a game ball to Josh Kroenke today for finding a way to run faster than Forrest Gump, because that guy is running away from this thing like I cannot believe. First, we had the delay because the two teams that they owned had scheduling conflicts. You schedule the presser after the Avalanche presser, but somehow that got conflicted. At the very least, they're disorganized up top. They delayed that one to the next day. Then it comes out that Josh Kroenke has recently had COVID. I'm not saying he didn't recently have COVID. I'm not here calling him a liar on that even remotely, but it feels a little bit fishy. Who says they recently had COVID? Don't you just say I have COVID? I can't go out there and do the presser. They're ever going to do the presser. You said you're hearing rumblings behind the scenes that's exactly what's happening. They're having some second regrets about
questions. I don't think they're excited about it. I don't think it's what they initially intended. Yeah.
Well, today I give Josh Kroenke a game ball for, you know, running away from things faster than Forrest Gump. That's what I got, T-Mac. Hey, I'm happy you're out in St. Louis. I hope you have a miserable time. I hope it's absolutely terrible experience until tomorrow when the Avalanche win. And then I hope you totally redeem yourself by whatever you sacrifice to the people that you offended. Can't wait to see what it is, D-Mac.
Find out tomorrow.
Kevin, KJ, great job. We got Nick and Cecil coming up next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.